I invite your attention to Romans chapter 8, the 8th chapter of the Epistle of Paul to the church in Rome. My text will be found in verse number 18. My message is titled, Present Sufferings and Future Glory. I'm going to begin reading from verse number 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. If, now watch this very carefully, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Here's my text. For I consider, I reckon, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Let me read it to you again. I want you to grasp what is here said. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. My son, my only begotten son, is afflicted with a cancer that is slowly and painfully sapping his life from him. In the providence of God, my beloved and I were blessed to relocate from abroad to a place quite close to our son. We therefore are blessed to visit our son quite often. Every time I walk through the door of the house, I glance to the wall on the right. On that wall is a chalkboard. And on that chalkboard, my son's beloved has written the words of this text. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. I told my son's wife that every time I walk, and this was a few months ago, every time I walk through this door, I look at that wall. I want to see if those words are still there. For I know that your sufferings are increasing daily, and it's not just my son's, it's hers. It's the sufferings of their son and their daughter. There is so much suffering in that house. But I told my daughter-in-law that every time I walk through, I look to see, is it still there? Has she taken it down? No, it's still there. It's still there. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. My son's wife told me that text was written on their wall, she wrote it, a few years ago. They were at that time going through a different circumstance of sufferings. But the sufferings of that time have paled in comparison to the sufferings of this time. The sufferings of that time may just almost be forgotten. It's in the past. It's over. But the sufferings of this present time There is a day by day and hour by hour reminder of them. And yet the words still stay on the wall. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Well, that chalkboard with that text is now permanently fixed in my mind. I see it every day. It comes to my mind repeatedly. And I must tell you that the more I think of those words, the more precious this text becomes to me. I'm seeing it fulfilled. I am seeing that the Lord is teaching His children that the present sufferings are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. So, we need to consider this. The present sufferings and the future glory. I want us to take a look this morning at that subject. Present sufferings and future glory. Well, first of all, and we're just going to expound it word for word. First of all, the word for. F-O-R. Paul is very fond of this conjunction. He repeatedly uses it. He'll say something and then he'll say for or therefore. He repeatedly does it all the way through his writings. Now, it is a conjunction that joins this verse, number 18, with what I read to you before. And what Paul has written in the verses before is this. We are God's adopted children. And the Holy Spirit is a witness unto us that we are God's children. The Holy Spirit testifies to us that we are heirs of God. And the Holy Spirit testifies to us that we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And He inherits everything. And then the Holy Spirit tells us, assures us, that if we suffer with Him in this present life, we shall be glorified together with Him in the next. Therefore, Paul, having written those words and having explained the promise of the Spirit, says, well, therefore, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Now look at that word, I reckon. I reckon, Paul says. Paul does not say, I hope that the future glory is better than these present sufferings. Oh, surely he did. Surely he did. But Paul uses a word with more force than a mere hope. He says, I reckon. I reckon. A word of more force than hoping. Nor does Paul say, I know that the present sufferings are not worthy to be compared with the future glory. Because although Paul knew a whole lot about present sufferings, he did not know much about that future glory. He says it is still to be revealed. I don't know much about it. Therefore, I cannot say that I know what it's going to be. Oh, that's the same with us, is it not? Paul did not speak of what he did not know. He uses a word that has more force than a hope, but he's not going to be overly confident with saying, I know what he did not know. So he says, I reckon. Now, this word reckon, it's an interesting word. It means to consider taking the available information that you have. It means also to calculate.
It means to calculate all the sufferings that you now are experiencing. And you know a whole lot about those. Now, calculate what you know about the future glory. Well, we do not know much about that. It has not yet been revealed. But I'll tell you this. I reckon that these present sufferings cannot compare with what's over yonder, because I've gotten a glimpse of them, and they've got to be better than this that I'm going through now. It's like the crew of a ship in an ancient time. And these mariners have discovered, remember, an ancient time, that their voyage is now much longer and more treacherous than they had thought it would be. Gales have ripped their sails. Billows have tossed them to and fro. Their food and water are now almost depleted. The ship is springing leaks. And yet here again, there's another storm. It's coming upon them. And yet in the midst of that storm, someone points to the over in that direction. He says, I see land. I see land. And everyone looks in that direction. And over there on the horizon, in front of them, the sun is shining. It's green. It looks peaceful. And these sailors believe they still have enough sail to catch enough wind to make it to that shore. The captain says, men, lose not your hearts, for I reckon that what we're going to find on that peaceful shore is far greater than these present, than the present storm you're experiencing. I reckon that the travails of this present storm are not worthy to be compared with the peace we're going to enjoy on that shore. And so it is with the child of God. We've got suffering on every hand. But we reckon that what's over yonder? Oh, it's got to be better than what I'm going through now. There is no comparison. These present sufferings will not compare with the glory that shall be revealed in us. I want you to observe that when Paul says, I reckon, that's the language of faith. It's more than a hope. Now, it's not knowledge because we do not know what's over yonder yet. But we have calculated everything that we've come through. And we've calculated what little bit we know, and we are going to say this, that I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Now consider the sufferings of this present time. They are many and varied, both physical and mental. They're caused by ailments, infirmities, diseases, debilitations, catastrophes, persecutions and die, and no child of God is immune or exempted from these sufferings. None of us. Job tells us that man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Full of trouble. I mean, every time you get over one trouble, here comes another one. This is, you know, oh, I noticed that you have a little more room for another trouble. Here it is. You get over that trouble and you're beginning to feel good, and here comes another one full of trouble. Job tells us that man is born in the trouble as the sparks fly upward. Now I want you to remember that verse. Man is full of trouble as the sparks fly upward. Going to be summer soon. We're going to be building campfires and, you know, going out and doing some camping. Now, when you sit around that campfire or when you're burning, you know, the wood in your yard or even in your home in the wintertime, every time you see those sparks going up, remember this. That is proof that your life is full of trouble. Man is full of trouble as the sparks fly upward. Even God's only begotten Son endured sufferings. His life was full of them. His life was full of them. He was rejected and persecuted by his own countrymen. His own countrymen. He came into his own and his own received him not. Folks, it's one thing to be rejected by your enemies, but he was rejected by his own countrymen. They didn't want him. He was deserted by his own followers. I mean, think about it. The temple guard comes on the night of his arrest. He's up there with 11 of his disciples, his closest confidants, and here comes the enemy, and he looks around for his disciples, and they're running away. They leave him alone. Think about it. Jesus Christ deserted by his own followers, betrayed by one of his closest associates. The man who shared the house with him. The man who ate from the same table. The man that carried the money for Jesus and his disciples. That man betrayed him. You ever been betrayed by your closest confidant? Oh, what troubles Jesus had. And then he was arrested. Mercilessly whipped and beaten, and the beard plucked from his face, crowned with the plaited thorns, nailed to a cross. What sufferings! No one endured the kinds of sufferings Jesus Christ endured, crucified by his enemies. His life was full of sufferings. Price was put on his head very shortly after he was born by the king of the land. Suffered all the way through life. So just bear this in mind. No one ever born of a woman was immune from suffering or exempted from them. Oh, Paul the Apostle, now he could tell us something about sufferings. He's the one who wrote this text. I dare say you have not experienced his kind of sufferings. Consider what he tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He tells us that he was tried and imprisoned by civil authorities a few times. What was the charge? Preaching the gospel. More than once, a few times. Tried and imprisoned. Spent months in prison. He was beaten with a rod thrice. Whipped with 39 stripes 5 times by the Jews. Why? Preaching the gospel. Consider, if you suffer with Christ, you'll be glorified together with him. Every bit of Paul's sufferings were for the cause of Christ. Think about it. 39 stripes he received 5 times. He was thrice on a ship that wrecked. A night and a day struggling to stay afloat on one occasion. On another occasion, he was stoned and left for dead. He was often hungry, thirsty, weary, painful, cold, insufficiently clothed.
He says he was in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren.
Now, interestingly, he does not record some of these instances. They happened. They happened. He suffered them for the cause of Christ. And then one day they came to his prison in Rome. Said, come, it's your turn. They led him off to a block. And there it is said that he was beheaded under the order of Nero, the Caesar. And Paul, being led from his prison to the place of his execution, he could look back on his life and all those sufferings he had endured, all the sorrow, all the trouble, all the heartache. He could look off into the future and he just might have a glimpse. Just a wee glimpse of the glory that's going to be over there. But he's got the promise of the Holy Spirit that if I suffer together with Christ, I shall be glorified together with him. And what does Paul say? As he lays his head on the block in order to be executed, he says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Therefore, child of God, never think your earthly sufferings are unique to you. They are not. Every child of God is going to have these sufferings. But notice this also. They are confined to this present time. This present time. When I have breathed my last, I have suffered my last. When this earthly life is over, these present sufferings are over, never to be experienced again. And then consider this. Consider that you should rejoice in reckoning that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. It's just not worth it, folks. All that is just not worth it in comparison to what's there. I know a whole lot about those sufferings. I know very little about the future glory. But I still reckon that the present sufferings are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Why is that? Consider these differences. I'll show you four differences between the present sufferings and the future glory. First, these sufferings are experienced on earth, but that glory will be experienced in heaven. There will be no suffering in heaven. Heaven. No doctors, no nurses, no hospitals, not even a first aid kit. None of it. Oh, this world's full of it. That place is void of it. None. None at all. These sufferings are known, but that glory is yet to be revealed. And though I know much about the sufferings and little about the future glory, I am convinced that these sufferings are not worthy to be compared with that future glory. Third, these sufferings are inflicted upon us, but that glory will be revealed in us. Did you catch Paul's words? It's very subtle. The glory that shall be revealed in us. In us. And these sufferings are temporal, but that glory is eternal. Now, since the future glory in us is yet to be revealed, we do not know much about it. But this little bit we do indeed know. First, in that future glory, there's going to be no sin. Think about it. No sin. I will never again know unholiness, no unrighteousness, no ungodliness. Well, that kind of knowledge is just way beyond me right now. But think about it. In that glory, I will never again know sin. No knowledge of it there. There'll be no suffering in heaven. Because suffering is the result of sin. Every sin experienced on this earth has its source in the Garden of Eden, in the first sin. Well, there's no sin in heaven. It is a land in which there is no suffering. At the very moment that this earthly life is over, it's gone. It's gone. The glory that shall be revealed in us. The man who is stricken with cancer wakes up in heaven's glory and he looks inside and he says, it's gone. It's gone. What has replaced it? It has been replaced with something. With what has it been replaced? The likeness of Jesus Christ. Think about it. Think about it. A body that is racked with cancer, debilitation, infirmity, and ailment. At the moment of death, it looks like Christ. How do we know? For having been glorified, for having suffered with Christ, we shall be like Him. Having been glorified together with Him, we shall be like Him. John writes, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. Everybody in heaven is going to look like Jesus Christ. Well, can you think of anybody you'd rather look like? Everybody's going to be just like Him. Oh. My mind does not fathom that. I see no resemblance in me and Jesus Christ right now. Although I am predestined to be conformed into the image of the Son. But I can assure you God's not done with that yet. But if I suffer with Him now, I will be glorified together with Him there. And I shall be like Him. I will never again sin in either deed, word, or thought. God says, I think so highly of my only begotten Son, I'm going to see that all my adopted children look just like Him. And we will. We shall be like Him. Now, as I look back on the sufferings of this present time, oh, I know so much about them. A whole lot about them. I've already calculated them up. And as I look off into the future, folks, I cannot tell you much about that. But I can tell you this. I'm going to be like Jesus Christ. Well, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. In us. I tell you, is that not a precious promise? This is a reckoning that to us should be so dear. Surely it is. However, I must not close this message without speaking to anyone who may be here today, and you're not a believer in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There just may be one. There may be one. And I must speak a word to such a soul as that. You are experiencing the same sufferings we're going through. Sickness, infirmities, ailments, debilitations. Cancer, leukemia, whatever. You're experiencing the same sufferings we, children of God, are suffering. But there's a difference. When this life is over, our sufferings are over, but yours have just begun. If one dies apart from Jesus Christ, the sufferings of this present time are just a taste of the sufferings of the future time. Oh, do not die apart from Christ. The sufferings of that time, to be cast into the unquenchable lake of fire, to know the weeping and the wailing and the gnashing of teeth, to know the torment, the sufferings of that future time for unbelievers will be far greater than any they've known now. I must speak with you concerning your soul, because the only reason why anyone ever experiences suffering in the future life is because he refuses to trust in Jesus Christ in this present life. Do not walk out that door. I implore you. Do not walk through that door at the end of this message today until you can say, I'm trusting in Jesus Christ. I have the witness of the Holy Spirit that I am God's child. I am convinced that I am an heir of God. I am convinced I will be a joint heir with Jesus Christ, who inherits all things. I am assured that if I suffer with Christ in this present life, I shall be glorified together with him in the next. Therefore, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us.